Mafia Podcast.
Greetings, everyone. I am the Reverend Godfather, frontman, and main host for the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Welcome, new listeners and old listeners alike, plus the new listeners who are tuning in from the Winter Pop and Comic Wonderland Festival or Convention from Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. This is the first of many convention specials and so forth and so on that we'll be having over the next few weeks, if not a little bit longer. Let me just say this episode would have sounded a hell of a lot worse because it would have been a minivan episode, so to speak, because me and Big Candy went up there, spent the night, and stayed in Waynesboro for the evening and to do both days of the Winter Pop and Comic Wonderland Expo, if Matt allows. It's the Wonderland convention that happened over the past 2 days. But because he was so damn beat, and I am beat like hell right now because I'm tired. Neither of us slept right. We just excited and wore out and everything. In a very good way. We'll get that into that. At least I'll get that into it in a moment. I made the judgment call. I said, no, we're not recording here in the minivan. We'll save his side of things and his first vendor experience, so to speak, when we return in studio for a group hostful. But to tell you my side as a first-time vendor in a way to promote this show, I would like to say it was very new to me. It's something a lot of you who've been listening to the show for a while know that I had a plan in place, or at least standards in place, that I was not expecting to do this for another 6 months down the road, a year down the road, pretty much year three of the show. Just that Matt Burns, the person who put on this event, has constantly challenged me, constantly challenged the show. I normally always raise the bar somehow and challenge the show to new heights and sooner instead of later. That's always a good thing, but mainly the show. What we have for you coming up, especially with this review episode of the show, where I tell you what happened and what went down in the show, we will have, for this show, two interviews. One is Gene Snitsky, or Snitsky. He's a wrestler. Before I put in his interview, I'll go into why it seems like that and everything else. And we had a smaller interview that I'll sneak in with this episode, too. He came up to the booth. He was very nice. I'll get into that. But like I said, we worked both days of this event. The first day, I wanted to do a little bit barking and pushing the show in itself. There were a lot of cosplayers and a lot of people there. From what I kind of heard through the grapevine, I'm not going to say any numbers because I'm going to let Matt Burns confirm the number, but a lot of people have been saying that they think this year's number of this crowd matches what happened in April. So if that be the case, we're looking anywhere close to 1,200 people over the weekend, and that's pretty damn good for Matt. That's good for Matt, but it's not good because most people expect to have an increase in numbers. But it is winter, it is the holidays, which might hurt a few sales and attendance because everybody's concentrating on the holidays and not really gunning for convention stuff. But still, he had a great, great lineup. It's kind of hard to find a negative. I'm going to give this show, Matt, if you're listening, you're getting a hard 8 out of 10. I'll give him an 8 out of 10 because it was hard for me to find any flaws. The knocks that would have been there was mainly against panel conflict. Because one of the Walking Dead panel, Matt did correct it, you know, so the panel was able to go on, because the Walking Dead panel was, happening at the same time as the costume contest, and I think a lot of the people that would have wanted to go to the Walking Dead were, it was just minor stuff like that, that was able to be corrected, throughout the day, and it was just minor back stuff that could have been easily rectified. But for the most part, like I said, 8 out of 10. The good side for us is that there seemed to be a minor schedule conflict in regards to the panels, because the information I was going on was that I had our show had the 2 o'clock When Dinos Attack panel, and the panel prior to us was the Pokemon Multiverse panel, and I was like, well, gotta get there early, but it just turned out the 1 o'clock panel was the cosplay panel, but they were a no-show, and the 2 o'clock was the Pokemon panel. We were the 3 o'clock panel, and there was a Star Wars panel at 4, but me showing up early to set up for what I thought would have been my panel allowed me the opportunity to speak to the person running the, I wish I had the cards, because I was so damn tired, and everybody in the vehicle was so damn tired, I left his business card in my show coat that I was wearing all weekend, and my show coat is in Big Candy's vehicle. So all my business cards, all the contacts I've gotten are there. So I am pretty much running by the seat of my pants right now with some of the stuff. But I digress that. I had a blast at the show, running the booth. But let's talk about day one. Day one, with the panels, I managed to record behind the scenes a little bit with the panels, because with the Pokemon panel, he'll let me record that, and I need to stay with the equipment just in case stuff went wrong. And with his panel, you didn't really have to rely on any visuals that much, so it was able to come out okay. So we got that panel coming up for you guys. We had our panel, which had a different energy to it than our Good versus Evil panel that we had with Vernon Wells and Robert Axelrod. So it had different panel. You guys, when I post it, you guys will hear it. It had a different type of energy to it. It wasn't flea-throwing. It was, I almost had to wedge or pry some of the information out of the Power Ranger guys. They weren't that talkative, but Thomas Duffy, who was part of the Lost World sequel, and plus he was in a whole mess of other panels, he was willing to tell stories and everything else. So it was a fun time, at least speaking with him and the rest of the guys. He provided some of the energy that was there. And the third panel after that was the Star Wars panel, which had, pull up the guest list here. It had John Martin, Nalini, Kristen, and I don't see his name here. Oh yeah, there it is. Felix Silla. The guy who ran that panel was from Come. I'll give him credit here, and I'll give him credit for when he post up his panel. He works for a website called comicbooked.com. He was the guy who ran the Star Wars panel, and when I got done with my panel, I saw him kind of the guys set ready for the panel come up, and I went up. It's like, dude, are you with comicbook.com? He said, yes, I am. I said, listen, can I record your Star Wars panel? It'll be completely awesome. And he said, yeah, sure. Great. I would love to have it recorded. And it was just one of those instances where it was something, when I found out later, it was something that he wanted to do anyway, was to have that his panel recorded as well so he could post it on his website. So it kind of benefited both of us. It's like, so that way we both have content. And probably his, I'll post up that one next week because I think Rogue One comes out next week. I'm not sure. But either way, it'll come out way before the movie or just when the movie comes out. So that was great. I spent, like 3-4 hours there out of, the 7-hour day. And I spent most of the day just wandering around, getting contacts and looking around and kind of shopping a little bit. I even got an interview with, artist Rick Priority. He was a great guy, nice guy. Got a lot of interview, a lot of artwork from him for amazing artwork. I picked up a JLA type of artwork off of him for $20. And I spent most of my con money at his booth because the next day I picked up $40 more of original artwork from him. Plus I got a free 8x10 type lithograph, which of Doctor Strange, so it was great. It was worthwhile. It was fun meeting him. We got some great interview. Today was my workhorse day. Trying to have some fun, to be the barker of the show, to get more contacts and flyers handed out. But the thing is, I know some of you are thinking, like, who listened to this show are thinking that, hey, you should have been at the booth all day instead of wandering around or gathering, so forth and so on. But the beauty of being a podcaster is to let you in on certain things, is that when you're handing out flyers most of the day, flyers can hand out themselves in a way. You don't really have to be there, but you kind of do. So that's what this day was. It was mostly during the high points and the busy times, getting the word out and being at the booth and shaking hands and getting some photos and bringing the people in and having some fun. Getting the vendors nearby to laugh as well. Trying to push people towards, because some of the vibe I got with this show is that if I'm pushing people to one booth by kind of saying, hey, if you spend all your money, it's like you don't have anything, go to that booth, spend your money there, come to our booth and pick up something for free. And it's stupid stuff like that. And the couple of the vendors loved, you know, because I was sending people their way and they were sending people our way and vice versa. It was just a fun laugh. A lot of you on our, who might be following us on our Facebook page. If you don't know that we have a Facebook page, well, we do. It is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Big Candy challenged me to a 1988 gum challenge today. Which was posted live on Facebook. Basically, he had in his possession, and he was selling packs of horror-themed non-sports cards, which is pretty much cards based on movies and horror characters, and they had gum inside. Kids, ask your parents who collected sports cards. The cards, packs of cards had a stick of gum inside. And this particular brand of gum, non-sports cards had gum in it from, and it was from 1988. And Big Candy pretty much said, I am sure you will not eat a stick of gum from 1988. And I said, you know what? I would. I'll do it live. And that's how it came down to be. And he's like, listen, this pack's on me. You're going to eat that pack. And just having fun, getting the people in, doing fun stuff like that for the show. And that's what we are here for and what it is about. We had a great time. We had a fun time. Did I make mistakes? Probably yes. Figuring out that putting up a banner with duct tape did not really work so well with the both the vinyl banner and the table that we had. We got some bungee cords that worked even better though, so we know next time around what to do and how to do it and how to set up. It was that type of learning experience. Having the multi-theme, even though it had a central theme to it, the multi person theme theme type for our panels, Matt did a great job. There were more spaces for vendors this time around than there were last time. Just that both me and B Candy wish we had a kind of a wall table instead of a smaller booth, but it kind of worked out. A lot of the guests we had, who came over? Let's see here. He was the helicopter zombie. He's not listed on the little poster I got today. It's like a not even 4x8 poster, but he was the helicopter zombie in Dawn of the Dead. He came over. He chatted with me for a little while. I just seeing what's going. He was, you know, seeing what was up, who was here, what stuff he could buy. It was just fun. It was relaxed. I enjoyed myself. Would it be something I'd do again? Yes, I would. For a lot of people out there in the area who can't go to a large city type convention like Awesome Con or Baltimore Comic Con or Pittsburgh Comic Con or something like that. What Matt does is great. It's wonderful. Will he be doing something next year sometime? I don't know. I don't think doing two a year would benefit Mike, but not Mike, Matt. I'm tired, folks. It's been a long 2 days. After this gets converted and posted, I probably will be heading straight to bed. But I'm going to say that right now. I don't think Matt should. This is my personal opinion. Matt's a great guy. He is. I'll say that flat out. He is. He's a great guy. Just that I think doing two shows a year is a little bit too much for him. It would allow people to space things out and have a better time. If he did a summer show on a yearly basis, that's great. I hope he did well this year. I hope he does another one next year, because it is close by for us. It allows us to get more exposure, and it's a nice little con. It's nothing major, and it's more clout for us. So, again, we thank Matt Burns very much for this. He had a wonderful guest list. We did interview, I don't know if I said it, but I'll say it here. We also interviewed Samantha Newark, who voiced Jem and many other characters. She's also a singer-songwriter. We got a 15-minute interview with her today. I did a lot of the interviews early on today. I wanted two, mostly. One was Samantha, and the other one was Michelle Knotts, and she voiced Jesse from Pokemon. So, all you Pokemon lovers out there, stay tuned for her interview. But still, you're going to have a lot of stuff come out from us. A lot of great interviews. Samantha's interview was about 15 minutes and change, maybe 16 minutes. So, I know I keep saying to you guys that I don't like doing under 30-minute podcasts because it's a jip. That's what I feel like it is. But with celebrity interviews Michelle and... Michelle and Samantha, I'll release separately because they were great people. But first off, because I'm going to end this review right now because I'm drastically beat, I'm going to interview... put in two of our show interviews right now in this episode. The first episode person I'm going to put on is, he goes by the name of, I am going to pull up his, not so much the file, but his interview. So I could, Trevor Vivasis. Please give him some patience. He seemed very nervous. He came up to me today. He's an independent writer, and he's done several comics. I'll let him go into it. He just came up so polite, so quiet. But speaking of quiet and polite, there was this little girl. I gotta tell you guys about this little girl before I go on about Trevor. She was dressed up as She-Ra. It was so adorable. I wish I got a picture. I'll search the event things. I'll find it. I'll post it up. She was so adorable. And when I was telling a few of the people that I was about today, she was literally sitting in the booth completely... I think she had been no more than six, if that. And she went into completely shy mode and embarrassed mode. But it was so sweet and so cute. But back to Trevor. He's done a bunch of stuff. You could find at least one of his books on Comixology. I'll put links to it in... our show notes. I'll let him talk about it, but like I said, he was very nervous. You could tell this was his first interview, his first podcast. He wasn't really expecting. He seemed very tight, meaning very reserved. Very nervous. He was shaky, like someone. I think he might have been. Yeah, he was very young. Someone my age, and everybody younger than me is very young. Just that, I guess he was kind of recommended that he should get his name out a little bit more. So, here he is, Trevor, telling us about what he does and being an independent writer and so forth and so on. And I'm going to stop this right here. Like I said, he seemed very nervous. He was very polite. So please bear with him and listen very carefully. Hello, folks. Sorry for the pause. I had to make sure we were recording. We're still at part of the Waynesboro's Winter Pop Culture and Comic Wonderland. This is December 3rd and 4th. I'm here with
Troy Vivasis.
And I see that you're a vendor here. Well, what are you selling here? It seems like you told me you're a comic writer. What have you done?
I've written a few comics for a bunch of different publishers, including Storm Entertainment, an issue of Vincent Price Presents, and Alterna Comics, my mini-series Mr. Crypt is published by Alterna Comics, and I've been in a few issues of Chronicles of Terror, published by WP Comics, and two issues of Indie Comics Magazine.
The Vincent Price comic is the one that this is self-published, right?
It's published by Storm Entertainment.
Besides your booth here at the show, where can we find this book?
On DriveThru Comics, Comixology, and the Comic Flea Market website.
Let's start with Vincent Price book. What is Vincent Price about?
It's a story about the husband and wife, and the wife is ill, and the husband is desperate to find a cure for his wife's illness, and Vincent Price is the host of the story, so he appears at the beginning and the end of it. And it's like an old Twilight Zone episode kind of thing.
What got you into writing comics?
I've been reading comics since I've been old enough to read, and I've always been interested in it. And I started writing short stories for fun for a while, and then I got a book on how to write comic scripts, and from there I self-published a few things, and then I started getting published by anthologies, and then from there I talked with the people of Storm Comics, and then I got into the Vincent Price.
Do you have any, being that comic writer, do you have any influences, either writing the short stories or longer stories?
Roy Thomas and Jeff Leob are two of my influences.
How long have you been writing comics?
For about 4 years now.
Have you enjoyed it that much?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's something that it takes a while to get started, but once you get started, it just really starts to pick up speed from there. So it's something that it takes, you know, a lot of people get discouraged when something doesn't happen overnight, but if you keep working at it, you know, it'll happen eventually.
I was going to ask you, what do you have, even though you're relatively new, 4 years is relatively new. What obstacles have you come across trying to do these?
Probably just to get my name out there and get my name out there to publishers. That's probably the most important part of progressing as a writer and getting more jobs and more credits and all, is just being able to get your name out there so people know who you are and things like that.
Have you found that smaller conventions such as the Winter Pop and Comic Wonderland have helped you a little bit?
Yeah, I think it helps get my name out there and, you know, hand out business cards and get to meet our creators and artists. And sometimes as publishers at conventions I go to, I've met a few publishers at conventions, so, you know, there's that too. Every once in a while there'll be a publisher.
What about these other books that you brought over? Let's go with Mr. Crypt. Is that one of your Vincent Price book, meaning that it's mostly you, or is it a group of short stories?
Mr. Crypt is a collection of stories written by myself and art by Alexander Javik. And it's published digitally on Comixology by Alterna Comics. And there's two issues out so far, and there'll be a third issue in the new year.
Just to be clear, let's see.
Where did you say we could find Mr. Krip again?
On Comixology from Altona Comics.
So just look for Comixology on the web and you'll be able to find it.
Yeah.
What about these other two that are here, Chronicles of Terror and Indie Comics Magazine? What can you tell us about your stories in here?
Well, Chronicles of Terror is a British anthology published by WP Comics. And it's a horror series, and there's about 80 pages in each issue, and I've been in the first three issues so far, and you can find that on the WP Comics website.
And what about Indie Comics Magazine?
Indie Comics Magazine, I was in that about 2 years ago, and I was in Indie Comics Magazine issue 9 and issue 10, and it's anthology with 8 stories in there, and each story is written by a different person, and each person gets 8 pages to tell a story, and it's all different genres, science fiction, action.
Now, do you prefer the longer story form of the comic or the shorter 8 page type?
Well, I've written a lot of both, and I think it depends on the story and the characters, but there's pros and cons to both. A short story, you can only do so much with a short story, but then a longer one, sometimes you might have to stretch some elements of it out so it fits that longer format. But I personally like to write both, in both formats.
Let's see, do you prefer mostly the horror genre? Do you find that trying to get your name out in regards to that more difficult than what's currently available?
I've written a bunch of different genres. Like Mr. Crypt is an all ages book, so any age group could read that and enjoy it. And I found that like a lot of anthologies and a lot of publishers now, they publish a lot of horror comics, so it's easy to get into the horror genre now because there's so much demand for it. It seems like
There's a new demand for horror comics.
That I've found that so far, that a lot of publishers are willing to publish horror comics, and there seems to be that they really look for that now. That's what I found.
I do thank you for the interview. I'll let you know. I got your card, right?
Yeah.
Is there any place that, do you have like a website that people could find you at?
Yes, you can follow me on Facebook at Troy Vivasis. And you can find me on my website at choicecomics.blogspot.com.
I'll put a link to your website, at least let everybody know to look for you on Facebook. So, and I got your business card. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Again, that was Trevor, folks. Please, if you want, give him a hand. Give him a shout-out. Please buy his stuff. I'm trying to remember if he gave Twitter and everything else links. If so, follow him, Facebook stalk him. Tell him that we sent him. We sent you for his stuff. That'll probably make him happy. Next up is Gene Snitsky, a.k.a. Snitsky. A lot of you out there who follow wrestling know who he is. He was at the show not only promoting his line of beard products, but he was there promoting 100 Acres of Hell. I stumbled over the movie name because Gene is a very intimidating fellow. He went into, here's the thing, I was there, you could hear the interview, I'll include it with this. He seemed like he was coming off like a little bit of like a dick, and I was like, what's with this guy? And he's just giving these short, snippy answers and mean answers. He's being mean, he's being rude, what the hell, what the fuck? But afterwards, he gives this little, wink, like, I'm just messing with you, don't worry about it, you did a good job. That's the impression I got out of it. But he was just having fun, he was just being Gene, I guess you, Snitsky was just being Snitsky, because, for those of you out there who do not follow wrestling, the WWE, I might have put too many, again, folks, I'm tired. The WWE, puts in a few restrictions on those who remain in contact with them, meaning that for the most part, if they have to be in character, they are in character. Like, for the aspect of the the interview, in essence, in a way, he had to be Snitsky. And thus, once I caught on to that, or I realized that, it went fine. I won't say the interview went fine, but I understand that. And like I said, he was intimidating. Again, his links will be in the description, and I'll probably let him know that this episode went up and his interview went up. So here he is.
Hello, folks. I'm with the here with Big. Do you prefer Big Gene Snitsky or?
You can just call me Snitsky.
For those who don't know, Snitsky is a professional wrestler, mostly known with the WWE. I'll let him describe who he is and what he's done.
Well, I think everybody who follows wrestling knows me. It's Snitsky, former WWE superstar, infamous Kane storyline, top 50 oh my god moments in WWE history. I'm currently working on a film called 100 Acres of Hell, where I'm starring in and also did the fight coordinating and stunt work. Currently here to promote my film, my beard oil line that I started with Detroit Beard Collective. It's called Big Gene Snitsky's Beard Care. It's best beard oil in the world. Check it out at biggenesnitsky.com. And, you know, just here, honored to be here at the, you know, Winter PopCon, and just excited to meet all the fans. It's been a great event. Just want to thank Matt Burns for having me, and can't wait till next year to come back.
And before we touch a little bit on the wrestling, for those who are not familiar with it, tell us about the it's 300 Acres of Hell. Can you tell me?
Can't you remember? I just said 100 Acres of Hell. Get the potatoes out of here.
I had a long weekend, sir.
Yeah, we all did. Suck it up, Buttercup.
I will. I'll be more than happy to it. Just give me a few Slim Jims. I'll be ready to rock and roll.
You sound like you need a few more Slim Jims and a few more smacks around, but that's all right. We'll do that after.
I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take you on.
I bet you would.
I'll show you what I can eat. We'll take it out in the square circle somewhere.
All right. Well, anyways, let's get back to 100 Acres of Hell. It's a horror movie I co-produced. Very true to life. It's a story myself and my partner came up with, Jason Kerner. We, you know, very true to life, like I said. It's Bros Weekend gone bad. You have to, the moral to the story is, to make a long story short, you have to find a fighter in yourself to either live or die. So check it out at 100acresofhell.com. You won't be disappointed. It's going to turn the horror industry on its ear. So check it out.
So it's mostly an indie put out film.
It's an independent horror film. We haven't put it out yet. It's in post-production right now. We just finished filming in April. So we have post-production as we speak. Hoping to have it out early next year, 2017.
And going to touch on base on wrestling for a minute. For those who are not familiar with the industry, what can you tell us about wrestling, professional wrestling?
Well, I already told you about myself, and there's really nothing else to talk about.
I know there are some people that I've spoken with that say a lot of the modern-day wrestlers cannot get hurt or don't get hurt. What do you have to say to some of those folks?
Well, I don't know who's saying that, because everybody gets hurt. It's a very physical sport, a lot of high-impact maneuvers, and accidents do happen, and no matter how safe you are, how cautious you are, sooner or later you're going to break something or get hurt in some way, shape, or form. So I'd have to say that that's a false assumption.
For some of those who are not familiar with your career, what were your AKAs in the wrestling industry?
I wrestled as Snitsky. We already talked about that. I'm glad to see you did your research before this interview.
It was shit. A few of my friends who have followed you, Clear, said that there were other AKAs that you have went by.
Not in WWE. It's always been Snitsky.
It's just been Snitsky in the WWE?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me about a little bit about the WWE? Do you still have friendly ties with them?
Yeah, I'm still on great terms with WWE. As a matter of fact, I was actually at SmackDown 900. So, you know, I always pop in when they're in the area, try to, you know, say hi to the guys, all that good stuff. But, yeah, WWE's obviously the top wrestling promotion in the world, and it's always nice to go back and see the guys and talk to Vince and Shane and Stephanie and the whole crew. So, you know, I love WWE. I've always loved working there. So, yeah, we're still on very good terms.
Do you have anything to say to the fans that think that the WWE storyline has, in the past, have been a little bit lackluster, but yet it seems to be improving slightly?
To be honest with you, I don't really follow any of the storylines. I'm so busy with all my other projects, I don't really, you know, have time to sit and keep up with the whole industry. But, you know, everybody I saw at SmackDown and everybody that I, you know, talk to still, seems like, you know, everything's going great. So I don't really ask any questions. I just kind of show up, say hi to the guys, hang out, do my thing. So,
After your stint in the WWE, have you wrestled in the independent circuit?
Yeah, I wrestle all over the world still. Matter of fact, just wrestled in Delaware not too long ago. I'm going to Virginia next weekend. I'll be in Alderson, Virginia for a show next weekend. So stop out and see me if you're in that area.
No problem. I do appreciate the interview. Is there any place that or anything you like to promote other than 100 Acres?
You can follow me on Twitter at Big Gene Snitsky. You could also check me out on Instagram at The Real Snitsky. Facebook fan page is Snitsky's official fan page. And you can check out my beard care line at BigGeneSnitsky.com. It's the world's best beard oil. If you miss out on it, it's not my fault.
That was Snitsky, everybody. As I said, he was just being him. It was late in the day. He was probably ready to pack up and go. I'm not holding that against him. Hopefully we'll get a few better interviews next time around. Well, maybe we'll get somebody who is... I'm not knocking Snitsky in any way, shape, or form. Hopefully we'll get somebody in that we could talk more about wrestling and help me be a better interviewer for the wrestling crowd. And maybe that way, next time around, we could be better, interview better, and talk about things better. My knowledge in reference to WWE is minimal. I haven't watched a episode of Raw or SmackDown in God knows how long. It's been over a year. I just know as of this posting, the tables, ladders, and chairs match, or I should say pay-per-view, just probably ended a few minutes ago or a little while ago. So either way, not to mention tonight was Sunday. It's Walking Dead night. I got to get caught up so bad, but right now I need sleep. I hope you enjoyed these interviews that we put out for you guys. Follow Gene Snitsky, or follow Snitsky stuff. Look for Trevor stuff. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram and so forth and so on. Please enjoy their stuff and buy their products, because it helps them out and they might help you out too. But for now, I'm the Reverend Godfather. I am out. Take care, folks. There are better interviews. I won't say better interviews, but more Winter Pop and Comic Wonderland episodes on the way for this month. Plus, we will have at least one other non-Wonderland type thing come up later this month. Who knows? But for now, later, guys. If you're listening to us on iTunes, don't forget you are All our episodes, or our classic episodes, are on... Let me rephrase that. All our classic episodes are on our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. If you don't like to use an Apple product, like an iPhone or an iPad, we are on Google Play Music, if you prefer that way. If you do not prefer a mobile device and you prefer a regular old computer, again, you can listen to us through iTunes if you prefer, or you can listen to us through Stitcher Radio or through streaming from the website, which you could also get our episodes to download. We also have a, as I said earlier, a Facebook page. Our Facebook page is the long is facebook.com, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Our email, if you wish to comment on an episode or just email us or whatever, you can do so by emailing us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. If you wish to stalk us on Twitter, our Twitter handle is longcoatmafia. If you wish to stalk us on Instagram, our Instagram handle is longcoatmafia. And that's about it. I am going to call it a night. Again, call it a night, folks. When more things come down, and before, I might talk about it. If I remember more things that happened during the show, I'll bring them up during the other shows. More on that later on. But I do not want to take away from the interview, so I might put that those thoughts at the end of the show, those shows. But either way, good night, folks. Hope you had a good one. Rest up. I know I'm going to need it. So...